Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Something new and dangerous is happening in our skies. The words of the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen in the European Parliament yesterday. And the Parliament is preparing a resolution this week and sounding the alarm about drones disrupting air traffic. But airport authorities say drones are nothing new and the rate of incidents has been rising for years. So what's happening? Well, Kevin Byrne is a retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Security and Safety Auditor and is here. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning, Claire.
We want to get to the bottom of all of this. Is it a problem or not?
It is a problem. It's been an amateur problem up to now, I think, because we've seen this in Dublin Airport, in Gatwick and airports in the UK and elsewhere, different parts of the world. But I think what's happened recently has taken it to a whole new plane, a dangerous plane in that regard, because it's no longer amateur. This is a state-sponsored organisation behind this, and it's taken it to a whole new degree. I had the privilege of being in the Swedish Defence University 2 weeks ago, just after these attacks took place in Copenhagen and I think in Stockholm, and they were discussing it greatly, because what they do is put, after dark, drones appear over the airfield surface and they're seen by the air traffic control people and by the pilots. And of course, you have to have an immediate shutdown. No landings.
Do
no
you now? Because that's the question I have.
Well, you do. And I'll tell you why. Because the new state actors are using drones which have an endurance of perhaps 1 hour. Now, to my knowledge, none have been captured yet, which is a pity because you could tell then where they came from and you know, who was the sponsor to some extent. But these new ones are not the ones you buy in a shop. These are commercial operations. They've got cameras on board, and the people using them, the pilots as it were, are remotely using VR, virtual remote headsets, so they can see through the camera of the drone. They hop over the fence of the particular airport and they fly past the aircraft which are lining up to depart on the runway. I was in Dublin Airport last week and it's, you know, there's 9 aircraft departing at a busy time. After dark it's much the same in any airport, particularly the big ones and the hubs. So the pilots report to air traffic control, there's something gone past my window, and air traffic control see it, and sometimes they sit in the middle of the runway, either the departing runway or the aircraft arriving runway, which of course is a serious danger.
Well, ignoring it's not an option then.
No,
you
absolutely
have to deal
not.
With it.
And it gets more complex because there's an unwritten standard operating procedure, an SOP. You're supposed to wait 3 hours until the last sighting has been noted. So you're going to close the airport to arrivals and departures for 3 long hours. And in the case of a place like Frankfurt or Heathrow or whatever it might be, that cuts a whole swathe through your normal operating day, particularly after dark.
So what can you do about this thing? How can you get rid of it without causing panic and further disruption?
Well, they've been discussing this for more than 10 years now, because it first appeared round about the same time as the lasers. You might remember we had lots of laser problems
where
pilots were being irradiated on takeoff and departure. That has stopped for a while. This is much worse than that, because it doesn't, it's ingenious from the point of view of the enemy, so to speak, who may be a state operator, because they don't get anybody injured or killed. They don't cause any, you know, kinetic results as such, but they do cause a huge amount of disruption all over Europe from that point of view. And it's quite a long list. To stop it happening, you have to identify, is it happening? In the case of Copenhagen, when I was in Scandinavia recently, 300 people telephoned in from outside saying, we've seen these drones around. And maybe they did. But in the case of 15 or 16, they incorrectly identified Venus as being a drone. So there's a lot of, you know, misinformation, not done deliberately, but you have to be sure that the last sighting is at a particular hour, and then you work backwards and you can open up again. Mm-hmm. But you have to identify that there is a drone there, where it came from, what it's doing, and has it gone away? And that isn't easy.
Yeah, and then you have to decide how you safely deal with it. And that's key, isn't it? And what are the options? Because you can go from, you know, low intervention to blowing the thing out of the sky.
There's a whole host of different things now. The problem with civil airports is we lose a thing called C3, Command Control Communications, because while the operations are used to dealing with people like that, they're not really used to dealing with things that pop over the fence that are not known. So you've got air traffic control involved, you have security involved. And do you have to have some of this machinery, which in some cases, for example, is laser, you know, they have laser. Other ones have got electronic devices which are supposed to cancel the signal from the operator, which would probably work as well. But if you have them, do you have them 24/7? You know, because this is a pop-up thing. It's going to add a layer of extra staffing and equipment to the airports, but maybe it's what we're going to have to put down in future.
And is there yet an international protocol?
No, there's no agreed. Not agreed one, plan. And that's what the European Union might do, because as I said, it's been exploited by people. In one case, they said some of these, the ones to Copenhagen, came off a ship in the Baltic, which I found extraordinary like that. But the Swedish Defence University were saying this is true. They can prove it. So who runs the ship? It isn't a, you know, a private operator. It's a commercial operator or a military operator. And they fly using GPS. So you could stop and spoof the GPS. But if you do that, it affects every traffic item coming in and out of the airport. So that's not generally done. The item we saw before, they were going to put snipers out on airport roofs. But that's a deadly thing to do. One, it's very difficult to shoot a target moving in the dark. And secondly, where does the bullet go if it misses the target? Or even if it hits it, you know, ricochets off, that kind
of
thing.
Well, it's dangerous, but very it also, dangerous. Also results in increased panic. And we saw what has happened in recent weeks. I mean, this has caused great nervousness in Denmark in particular, hasn't it?
Indeed, because not only did they fly over the civil airports, they were also seen over the hangars where the new F-35 aircraft are not in hard shelter. They're in ordinary hangars from that point of view. So it wasn't, as I said, a civil operator from that point of view. It did cause panic. And you don't want to do that because there's enough, anxiety around flying. 10% of people who fly are anxious about it. So we don't want to make it any worse. Mm-hmm. But the knock-on effects in civil aviation are quite drastic, because if you stop landings, you have to divert the aircraft somewhere else, and that causes disruption. The central flow management unit in Brussels, which controls air traffic in Western Europe, has to refile all these aircraft. You land aircraft away, you're going to lose the crew time. They cannot fly back, so they have to send more people out. What do you do with the people who are about to push back and depart? The 9 aircraft I mentioned lining up, they can't take off. Do they go back to the stands? Do you unload them? Do they go back to immigration? Do they get their baggage back if it's only going to be a delay of 3 hours from that point of view? It causes a huge short-term shock to the system. A diversion for a short, for a single aisle aircraft might be €50,000. For a wide body coming from, say, the States or the Middle East or someplace like that, it's up to €80,000. And I still haven't worked out through the regulations who pays for the compensation if you're left high and dry, if you're trying to go through a hub such as Frankfurt, going from one point to the other. It's a very complex system, and it's new to the European Union, so they're going to have to solve
it. Well, new to the European Union, and clearly commercial aviation is really grappling in terms of how to deal with this. Is that right? So no one really knows yet what the answer is, Kevin.
No, they're going to have to put in place a command and control situation and train people to do it. The best thing to do is probably have the security element of the airport look after this, but you're going to have extra people on duty who are able to use the equipment, for example, that some airports claim they don't have, but in fact they do. And these are signal disruptors. So if you see the drone, you fire it at it. Having said that, the people who are causing this know that they've got a window of 20 minutes, because it's going to take 20 minutes to get something up and running. And if they're flying the aircraft, the drone, illegally using the headset I've mentioned, they can see what's going on even in the dark, because they have infrared, you know, information. They can see a clear picture. Airports are lit up well in any case like that. So they fly from point A to point B. They hide behind trees or whatever it might be, and they do 20 minutes and then they hide and they're gone. And they've done the disruption, and you've got 3 hours of disruption in every sense of the word, you know.
And it has to be 3 hours, does it?
Yeah, it is, but that's just, it's a safety feature. I think you could take that back to 1 hour if the European Union agrees from that point of view, if you've got trained people and if you've got the necessary radar equipment. They've got radar, sound and visual equipment, which is put in place now, which will identify the track from which the drone comes. Mm-hmm. The problem with drones is they've got a very low radar cross-section. They're made of plastic and other materials, which doesn't show up well. And if it's low level, it doesn't show up well, even on the high-speed radars, which are now used to track vehicles and aircraft on the ground, the surface movements radar, we call it.
That signal disruptor technology, is that the same as a jammer? Is that what it's doing?
Basically, it is, but it's pointed at a particular target. The electromagnetic radiation is pointed at what they think is a drone, and it should disrupt the signal that the controller, the pilot, remotely hiding
yeah.
is giving into it. However, there are other people who say the big ones now are they've got a preloaded navigation system. So while
they don't need anybody operating them.
They don't. The guy it literally flies off from point A, does a track around the airfield on various taxiways over buildings through the air traffic control system, and then flies back to the drone pilot who puts it in the back of the van and hides basically because mm-hmm. it's done locally. If it's off a ship, that's a strange one. But most of these things are done by somebody who's hiding within 5 kilometres of the airport.
I know there was a fear when we saw these things happening more frequently over the last few weeks, and everyone's still trying to find out who is behind this.
Yes.
There was a fear that there would be copycat drone activity
yes.
by amateurs. Has that happened?
Not yet, but it's happened before. When it happened in certain airports in the UK, it happened up the road, so to speak. If it happened in Birmingham, it's going to happen in Heathrow and places like that. People decide to have a bit of fun. That's what it's called from that point of view, because nobody gets hurt. However, there's a video shown on the FAA website, which I looked at last night, and it shows you the effects of an aircraft coming in to land at 200 miles an hour, hitting a drone which is static on the approach pad like that. And it's very serious. If it hits the cockpit, it'll shatter the glass and blind the pilots, you know. If it hits a wing, it might damage the fuel tank and cause it to ignite a fire. If it gets sucked into an engine, well, you can imagine the damage, even if it only weighs 2 or 3 kilos. At the speeds involved, at the energies involved, you're going to have an explosion on that engine.
So what other options are there in between, say, the jammer or the signal disruptor and the sniper? What else can be done?
There's a whole lot of things. You can have a thing called geofencing, in other words, virtual boundaries where the signal wouldn't go through it. But again, there's an expense involved in that. They were talking about that with prisons, for example, where drones are regularly used to drop in
contraband.
Contraband, the very word. You can have And they do have signs around the airport saying no flying, no zone flying, and enforce that. I always thought the simplest solution, if we had an amateur involved, this might not affect the bigger operators, but it might. If you had a couple of policemen on motorbikes around the place and they said, by the way, the identification point for takeoff for this particular drone is, you know, the woods in Santry, something like that, you'd have a member or somebody on a police motorbike there arresting the people who are doing this kind of thing. That's on the amateur level. I'm not sure that would work so much on the
state actors are involved.
In America, just as a point, when lasers came in, they decided that this kind of thing, drone technology, drone interference and lasers would be a federal offence. So if you get caught in the States in America, you're going to go to a federal prison and a penitentiary. And that's a very serious matter. It hasn't reduced it, but it does, I suppose, put something else in the path.
So if you do it in the States, you're in big trouble.
In trouble.
Have they tried nets to catch drones, says Laura?
Yes, they did. They actually tested this with helicopters. But then do you have a helicopter on site at a commercial airport? A big one like, I don't know, Atlanta, Georgia, that kind of thing. But they do have a cheaper version called, you know, a bigger drone. So the drone that you have will have a little net on board. It will then sync itself, synchronization with the drone position, if they can find it, over your airport, and it will drop a net on it, which will cause it to crash. But again, if you've got a drone crashing, you have to be sure it's not going to happen on buildings or roads or that kind of thing.
It's messy, you know, drone wars, once we start bringing out the
indeed,
nets and the bigger
indeed
drones.
It is.
Kevin, thanks so much. It's fascinating. And as we say, the commercial aviation industry is still grappling with that one. Coming up, songs with scathing lyrics. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.